When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Proverbs 16:7. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may be present to thee a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may be present to thee a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verse 12. John 3:36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful today for the opportunity again to turn our attention to the Word of God, the eternal message for all of us. We're here on this earth at this time because you have a purpose and a plan for our existence. We realize that one of these days it will be time for us to move from this life. We thank you for the fact that we have the assurance that heaven is our eternal home, and that we, one of these days, will be absent from this body and be in the presence of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. You see this verse on the screen in just a few moments. First of all, we're dealing with the subject biblical insights, the believer's warfare characteristics. We'll be seeing that today. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the evil one. First of all, I want to remind you that when you look at this verse, you'll see that we have the word oidamen, O-I-D-A-M-E-N. The way that the word is used is that this is a perfect, active, indicative, first-person singular of oide, O-I-D-A. We've learned in the past that when you find a verb in the perfect mood, we discover that it emphasizes something that takes place in the past, consummates in the past, and results continues to this present moment. We know that we are of God. We know without doubt that we are of God. We are is I-me, the present active indicative, first person plural. We could spend a lot of time on those two verbs, but we will not do that other than to remind you again that you and I have the responsibility of being aware that we know that we are of God. The last part of the verse is what we want to emphasize now, and that is we have Kai, K-A-I, we have the article the, then we have the word cosmos. Most of us by now are aware of the fact that this emphasizes the fact that the whole world and the whole world lies in the evil one. And you'll notice that the word there is poneros. Perhaps you remember this, and if you do, that's wonderful. And if you don't, I remind you, evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. If you already have this down, that's wonderful. If you don't, please, please take this down. Evil is a system of thinking. This system of thinking opposes divine truth. Evil is a system of thinking that opposes divine truth, both in belief and behavior. As of Wednesday night, we'll be concluding our study on the subject of evil. We're not through because there's so much more that should be added, but it's time for us to move on. And so we're going to move into the study of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which we will enjoy tremendously over in the coming weeks. But we have learned that evil is a system of thinking. And we realize that there are two types of thinking. There's God's thinking on the one hand, which we call vertical viewpoint. There's satanic thinking on the other hand, which we call horizontal viewpoint. We've learned in past days that evil is described by three particular Greek words. One of those is kakos, the other one is poneros, the other one is phalos. I trust by now that all of you have these words down. Kakos, poneros, phalos. Kakos emphasizes opposition of Satan to goodness and character of God. Poneros emphasizes primarily Satan's opposition to divine viewpoint. Phalos is the word which emphasizes the fact that Satan opposes divine good. There are many other facets that could be added to that, but that's abbreviated form, so I just want you to see. Now, let's go back and take a look at the verse for today. I want you to take a close look and let's see which one of these three words is used here. We know that we are of God and the whole world lies in the evil one. P-O-N-E-R-O, which is, as you can see, this particular word, which is the second word that is used on this particular page. And it is the Greek word poneros, P-O-N-E-R-O-S, which is opposition to divine viewpoint. I trust that I'll not have to say that again, and all of you will remember what satanic viewpoint is. And that's what we have here, the difference between divine viewpoint on the one hand and satanic viewpoint on the other hand. We're looking today for a few moments at the characteristics of Satan in our verse of Scripture, 1 John 5:19. Let me just take you very quickly through the discussion on the characteristics of Satan. As a result of his original status and authority, Satan has great power and, yes, even dignity. So great is his strength that Michael, the archangel, viewed him as a foe too powerful to oppose. And this is found in the 9th verse of the book of Jude. As a result of his original status and authority, Satan has great power and dignity. So great is his strength that Michael, the archangel, viewed him as a foe too powerful to oppose. I was reminded at the close of the session this morning that I did have time to read a lot of those verses. And so I have to tell you that my challenge is, how many of these verses am I going to read? Because I have so many that I want to give you every time. And so that's the reason why I give you the verses. I trust you'll take them down and look them up later. I'm not sure whether you'll do that or not. Number one, as a result of his original status and authority, Satan has great power and, yes, even dignity. Number two, Satan's influence in worldly affairs is also clearly revealed to us in the 12th chapter of the book of John, in verse 31. Please notice that passage of Scripture, John 12:31. Satan's influence in worldly affairs is also clearly revealed. His various titles, for instance, reflect his control of the world system. Now, in John 12:31, I've been nice to you this time, and I've written some of these things out. In John 12:31, it says that Satan is the ruler of this world. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age. In Ephesians 2:2, the prince of the power of the air. Notice those three things that are presented to us in those verses of Scripture. His various titles reflect his control of the world system, the ruler of this world, John 12:31. The God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. And the prince of the power of the air, the Apostle Paul writing to the Ephesian believers in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. The Bible declares in our verse for today is, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. And that's our verse of Scripture as you've already noticed, for this message today. 1 John 5:19. Number three, Satan exercises his evil power through demons. I have not taken the time in this particular session or sessions to deal with the subject of demon influence and demon control, but Satan exercises evil power through demons, presented to us in Matthew 12:24, Matthew 25:41, and Revelation 12:7-9. An outburst of demonic activity occurred when Jesus came to the earth the first time because of the Savior's attack against Satan's kingdom. You can find this in the book of Matthew, chapter 12. You can find this in Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Notice, if you will, please, what is being presented here. An outburst of demonic activity occurred when Jesus Christ came to the earth the first time because of Satan's attack against Satan's kingdom. Very important for you to put down Matthew chapter 12, 28-29, Acts 10:38. Satan exercises his evil power through demons, presented in Matthew 12:24, Matthew 25:41, and Revelation 12:7-9. Point four. Another such outburst is expected just before the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this will bring about the downfall of Satan and his angels. It is important for you and me to be able to see that Satan is opposed to anything that is godly. Satan is opposed to the presentation of the gospel. Satan is opposed to the dissemination of the Word of God as we study it day by day here. Satan is opposed to all of these things. And so we have to put it down that there will be another such outburst of Satan expected just before the second coming of Christ, because this will bring about the downfall of Satan and his angels. Now, maybe I should ask you a question. Which time is the time that would be classified as the second coming of Christ? Are we talking about the rapture there? No, we're talking about the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. This reminds me to tell you that you and I fully are aware of the fact that there are 7 years of tribulation, divided 3.5, 3.5, the last 3.5 referred to as the Great Tribulation. We're taking out at the time of the rapture, there's the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. Am I saying things that remind you of some information you already know? Certainly. But down here on the earth, we discover 144,000 Jews converted, evangelism, all those various areas we've studied in the past, the four waves of evangelism during that time. And then we come to the Battle of Armageddon, and we come to the end of the tribulation period, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another such outburst of Satan's power is expected just before the second coming of Christ, because this will bring about the downfall of Satan and his angels. And this is presented to us in Revelation chapter 9, 3 through 17, Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, chapter 18, verse 2. Number 5, Satan also has high intelligence. Through it, he deceived Adam and Eve and took over their rule of the world for himself. Notice, if you will, please, number 5, Satan also has high intelligence. Through it, he deceived Adam and Eve, took over their rule of the world for himself. This is presented to us in Genesis 1:26, Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, and 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that Satan is extremely clever. His cleverness enables him to carry out his deceptive work almost at will. You and I, and I mentioned this in the previous session, you and I must be aware of how powerful Satan is. and what our responsibility is as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, to love the Word of God, to be cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, have vertical viewpoint so that on a day-by-day basis we can have victory and triumph in our Christian lives. Number six, yet Satan's attributes, impressive as they are not limitless. His power is subject to God's restrictions. I'll have you put that one down in your thinking, please. Satan's attributes, impressive as they are not limitless. His power is subject to God's restrictions, as presented to us in Job chapter 1, verse 12, Luke chapter 4, verse 6, and 2 Thessalonians 2, 7 and 8. Let me repeat, Satan's attributes, impressive as they are not limitless. In other words, his power is subject to God's restrictions. The reins of God on his activities are even illustrated by Satan's request to God for permission to inflict Job. We find that in the first chapter of Job, verses 7 through 12. Do you remember that? The reins of God on his activities, Satan's activities, are illustrated by Satan's requests to God for permission to afflict Job. Number seven, Satan is permitted at times to afflict God's people. Satan is permitted at times to afflict God's people. Presented to us in Luke 13:16. Presented to us in 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Presented to us in Hebrews 2:14. But notice, but he is never permitted to win an ultimate victory over us. It's important, please, it's important for you to comprehend some things about Satan. Satan is permitted to afflict God's people at times. Luke 13:16. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Hebrews 2:14. But he is never permitted to win an ultimate victory over us. John 14:30-31. John 16:33. Point 8. A part of Satan's continuing ambition to replace God is his passionate yearning to have others bow down and worship him. Notice, if you will, point 8 again. A part of Satan's continuing ambition to replace God is his passionate yearning to have others worship him. In fact, he desired that Jesus worship him in Matthew chapter 4, Revelation chapter 13, verse 4 and verse 12. Number 9, since God has frustrated this desire and put down Satan's rebellion, he's become God's exact opposite. Since God has frustrated this desire and put down Satan's rebellion, he has become God's exact opposite. The scripture describes him in Matthew 13:19 as the wicked one, while in Isaiah 1:4, God is described as the holy one. Do I need to say this again? We either have Satan's thinking or God's thinking. We either have satanic horizontal viewpoint or we have vertical divine viewpoint. Every single day we are bombarded with satanic viewpoint. We have to study God's Word sufficiently enough to be able to recognize the difference between vertical viewpoint and satanic viewpoint. There's no way that you and I are going to be able to see the difference unless we are able to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. If we study God's Word consistently and faithfully, if we find ourselves continually cleansed of sin and filled with the Holy Spirit, and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, we're going to have the ability to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. Satan is very tricky. And what he wants to do to you and me is to get us on the wrong track. He wants us to become involved with a lot of different things in this world other than the thinking of our Savior Jesus Christ. Please notice that. Please remember that. God has given me the responsibility to love you. And I love you by telling you how Satan can bombard us and lead us in the wrong direction. Why do I do that? Because I realize that satanic viewpoint could be mine if I'm not careful, and I have to watch it on a day-by-day basis. When I hear the news, when I watch television, when I listen to my friends, when I see all these things, many times, what am I hearing? I'm hearing horizontal viewpoint, not divine viewpoint. So I have to be careful just like you on a day-by-day basis. Across the street from our house, yesterday morning, shots were fired. Was it yesterday morning? Yes, or Friday morning. And someone came over in a truck at the apartments to make some kind of a deal. I don't know what it was. It's in today's paper. And someone else came up to rob the person who had come in his truck. And there was some shooting taking place. Now, you can read the paper today and find out about it. But I just want you to know that we're living in a time that anything can happen, no matter where it is, even close to our house. Satanic things taking place. Since God has frustrated this desire, put down Satan's rebellion, he's become God's exact opposite. He is the wicked one, while God is the Holy One. Number 10, Satan's nature is malicious. His efforts in opposing God, his people, and his truth are tireless. What am I saying here? Satan is busy. Satan is not only working on you, but he's working on me, and he's working on all believers. Put it down, please. Be aware of the fact that Satan's nature is malicious. His efforts in opposing God, his efforts in opposing God's people, and truth is continually tireless. Job 1:7, Job 2:2, Matthew 13:28. He is always opposed to your and mine, my best interest. You can put it down that Satan is always opposed to our very best interest. God has our best interest in mind. If we study God's Word, grow in grace and knowledge, have a divine viewpoint, live our lives in harmony with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to be blessed. Satan is always opposed to our best interest. 1 Chronicles 21:1, Zechariah 3:1, 2. Through his role in introducing sin into the human family, as found in Genesis 3, Satan has gained the power of death, a power which Christ has broken through his crucifixion and resurrection. I want you to know that God's Word is so magnificent and so powerful, and you and I are privileged individuals to be able to study. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. These closing moments are addressed to those who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I really do not know your individual heart, but I'm of the opinion that every person in this auditorium has already accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Heaven is your eternal home. However, there may be some listening who've never accepted Jesus Christ. I'm glad I can tell you that God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man, fully God, fully man, without sin, lived beautifully, magnificently, and was willing to go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. That means your sins and mine. The salvation message is that Christ is the only answer. It's by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. And right now, in these last few moments of this service, wherever you are, whatever your condition is, as an unsaved individual, right now, you could accept Jesus Christ and be saved. Because the Bible says, whosoever, that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. How wonderful it is to know without doubt right now that you could believe and have salvation. I would encourage you. I would plead with you. I cannot make the decision for you, but I would request that you do this right now. Allow the Lord Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. Father, thank you for your matchless grace. In Jesus' name, amen.